We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider from Learfield IMG College. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Cowboys, Dave Hunziker.
Gundy in the pregame show last week. I guess it was at the radio show, actually. When do you know how good you really are? He said, oh, probably mid-October. So we'll learn something this weekend, but is it the full chapter to the book? I guess not. There's a lot of too many games to be played to know for sure, but it's an important game for both teams, and probably for Texas, as far as playoff hopes are concerned, it's really, really important.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed in the conference schedule makers, but, you know, there's no way to anticipate how good everybody's going to be. This, I think, is going to be one of the best games in the Big 12 Conference all season long. I really think it's going to be one of the best games. And so I hate to see it in the first slot, the first week of conference play. If this game were being played, like, say, the first weekend in November or the last weekend in October. And I know they're always, I mean, the constant on Texas schedule and OU's is that second weekend in October where they play each other. So those are locked in. But
the good news is there are two open weeks this year on the schedule, which is huge for Oklahoma State given its lack of depth. I think that could come in really handy with that first bye week coming the second weekend of October and then the other happening in mid-November. Oklahoma State will take basically four senior starters down to Austin. They have more freshmen and sophomores, or more freshmen and redshirt freshmen, I should say, on their roster than any team in college football. So I ask you, what should allow us to feel comfortable taking a young team to Austin to play in the conference opener in front of 100,000 people?
I don't think they know any better.
Good point.
I mean, honestly, and you know what? I don't know that it matters as much at any position other than quarterback. If you've got a quarterback who is not mature enough to handle this, and, you know, if Spencer doesn't play well, people are going to come back and say, well, Robert Allen was full of you-know-what on the podcast, on the radio, period. But Spencer Sanders has started in a high level of high school football since he was a freshman. I think the redshirt year last year, that was a good for him. I mean, he traveled every game. He was with the team every step of the way. So he has seen, you know, he's seen tough places, seen what goes on with it. I think Korn let both he and Drew Brown into his world last year so that they saw what was going on. So I don't think it'll be a factor. And then when you look at the other redshirt freshmen that are playing a lot. Bryce Bray is one of them. Have you seen Bryce Bray hiccup? Uh-uh. He's a solid individual. You look over on the defensive side, and maybe you got a few guys in the secondary at safety. Although Jarek played all last year. Trey's a sophomore. Kobe Harwell-Peel played last year. You got some real pups on the defensive line. You got a true freshman in Jernigan that's playing a bunch. But you know what? I've watched these guys on the sidelines to see if there's any immaturity, if it's too big for them, the moment's too big. And I just don't think it is. So when you've got redshirt freshmen and freshmen that are playing, that are mature and they play their butts off, you know what? That's great, because eventually they're going to be sophomores, juniors, and seniors that are going to be above average, both in experience and ability. And you're just going to be that much better down the road. So I don't think that's a huge factor. Plus, you've got the veteran guys you mentioned, the few that you do, I think are pretty good leaders. In fact, I'll say this, and you know, some of the guys from last year's team that are gone can be mad that I say it, but I've got to tell you what my observations are. My observations are there's better leadership on this team than there was a year ago.
Well, and you're not the only one that has said that or feels that way. An area of concern, and it could pertain to this game and it may not, but as we think about things from a broad perspective, Chuba Hubbard leads a nation in rushing, but he's hauling the ball a lot, 32 times at Tulsa, as a matter of fact. The good news is, and we'll see how this plays out, Coach Gundy told us this morning he thought L.D. Brown had a much better week of practice, isn't quite there yet, but had a much better week of practice. He indicated that indeed Jameel Jeter is finally getting back close to 100% where maybe he could help. And then Desmond Jackson, the junior college transfer, he's excited to see as he works his way back to health what he could bring to the table. So hearing that from Coach Gundy as we did this week, to me, that's a good indication that help may be on the way. Of course, we all like to see Chuba carry the ball as much as humanly possible, but we also don't want to see him drop from 24 mile an hour to 21 mile an hour in a month either.
No, you don't. But this is a week where I'd just soon see number 30.
Oh, this week. That's why I said it doesn't necessarily pertain.
This week it doesn't pertain. 30 needs to carry the ball. And I do think you've got to get LD or somebody in there to do a little bit. Here's what I looked at last week with LD. He came in, his first two carries were exactly what I want to see from L.D. Brown. He carried for 9 and 8. Both good carries. They were zone plays. He went right through the hole, zipped through there, got into the secondary, used his speed a little bit. But then I saw the next two carries were 1 yard and 1 yard. Okay, what was the difference? He didn't zip through the hole. He got in the hole and started looking around, trying to find some space. And you and I talked about this at practice. I think he's got a Chuba syndrome, because Chuba is so good at turning what looks like an everyday average run play into a big play. I think when you're the guy behind him, you want to do the same thing. And when you do that, you start looking around. You start trying to plot your field. If you watch Chuba, he doesn't plot his – he does occasionally get a cutback around the line of scrimmage, but it's generally while he's just taking the ball and he is seeing the scope of where everything is. And it's a quick decision cutback. Other than that, he runs the hole. And when he's about 5 yards through the hole, that's when he starts saying, okay, where am I going next? Both of them are one cut and go backs. Okay, your one cut, you got to be smart about when you make the one cut. Right. And LD is not being as smart about that right now as Chuba is.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You know, we talked about Oklahoma State's defense being young. The same can be said of Texas. They lost 8 starters from last year. Now, some of their younger players have significant experience, like Caden Stearns, for example, Jordan Stearns' brother, who was freshman All-American at safety, played all of last year. But it's an interesting thing with Texas defensively. They've received a lot of scrutiny about their ability to defend the pass, but it almost appears to be sort of a double-edged sword there. Everybody wants to point the finger at the secondary, but it almost sounds like and appears watching video that sometimes those guys have got caught in bad places as Texas has tried to bring pressure as they did against LSU. So it may not be quite as personnel-driven. I know they have concerns about some of their players in the secondary, especially at corner, but there have been some other issues involved too, all leading to some problems that Texas had stopping the pass, mainly against LSU.
They have 8 sacks in 3 games, which is not a bad number, but it's also not a world beater. And if on those plays you're not getting a sack, that you're not getting a lot of pressure. And so that's when I go over and look at the quarterback hurries. There's only 5 of those. So as many attempts to pass as offenses have posted against Texas defense, that tells me there's a lot of times quarterbacks are getting to sit back there and pick them apart. And I don't care who's back there. The other thing is, Texas is playing the same corners that they played against Oklahoma State last year when the two seniors set because Tom Herman suspended them the first quarter. And I'll say the same thing I said during that broadcast. I said, guys, I really respect Tom Herman, because after that first series, I'd have said, guys, suspension over, get your butts back out there. Instead, he made it stand for the whole first quarter and allowed Oklahoma State to kind of get into a front run position, which was critical because OSU had the lead at half and then held Texas off in the second. If you don't get the advantage that you got with those young corners going against them the rest of that first quarter, you know, who knows what would have happened. So you say, what do you mean by all that, Robert? I mean, if Tylan beat them last year, Tylan can beat them again this year. And you know what? You know, I think Todd Orlando is a very good defensive coordinator. I think sometimes he's too nifty for his own good, and I'm going to hope he'll be too nifty for his own good on Saturday. And you say, what do you mean by that, Robert? I mean, he over schemes sometimes. You know, sometimes it's worse to it can be as bad to over scheme as to not be totally prepared. And I think sometimes Todd Orlando does that. I also feel like down in Austin, it's a pressure cooker. And I think their coaching staff is feeling a lot of pressure on Saturday. Yeah. Because, you know, for a Longhorn fans to lose to Oklahoma State 5 times in a row in Austin, unheard of, never happened before. You've lost 4 times, period. It's the only Big 12 team Herman and his staff have not beaten. You know what? I know OSU fans have a little bit of an inferiority complex. It's like, oh, gosh, can we beat Texas again? Well, I mean, yeah, you beat them that many times, you can sure beat them again. But I think on the Texas side, it's a superiority complex. Why have we not beaten these guys? And I think their coach, I don't know if their players will feel it, but I think their coaches are feeling it this week.
And the reality is, if they lose this game and fall to 2-2 with Oklahoma still down the line, they're out of the playoff, and I don't know what the right term is. I think catastrophic is probably too strong of a word, but it could be called a disastrous loss, because the things that they've been shooting for from a goal standpoint, getting to the playoff off the board, getting to the Big 12 championship and winning the league, pretty darn hard to do. This is an awfully big game for them, as we said earlier. And if Oklahoma State were to win this game, boy, you know, Texas is still going to win its fair share of games, but the dynamics may change.
I think it's a great scenario for Gundy. Now, you're the one that talked to him. As we do this podcast, you're the one that talked to him today. So as soon as we're done with the podcast, I'm not exactly departing. I want to hear more from Master Hunziker on their conversation. But I think Mike Gundy is at his best when he goes into a game and there's more pressure on the other side and he can be loose and free with his team and tell his guys, hey, just go out there and cut loose and have fun. Play the way we've practiced this week. Play the way we've taught you to go out in this game and go get them, because they're the ones who are feeling, you know, tightness in that thorax area. They're the ones that you know, everything's on the line for them. So not that this isn't an important game to Oklahoma State. I mean, yeah, if Oklahoma State wants to be in the college football playoff, I mean, most people around the country aren't considering the Cowboys a playoff team, but guess what? You win this week, you're still in the running. You know, there's still.
Well, you start coming up in a lot of conversations if you win this week.
No doubt. And so, yeah, I mean, I like the scenario. I like the way this thing plays. Here's the other thing too. And I talked to a lot of our players this week. Why Why are you guys so at home in that stadium? Almost everyone. Hey, I grew up in Texas. I always wanted to play in that stadium. I'm getting to, those kids are getting to live out a dream. And they're not intimidated by it. They've got more friends and family sitting in the stands than they probably will for any other game. Because, you know, they'll get their family at all, most of the other games, even the home games. But they're not going to get as many friends to come. Yeah, I mean, that's a centralized city in Texas. It's in the middle of the state, big state that it is. But their friends will show up. And then also it's seeing that hook 'em. You know, I hate to say it, but I do think, I don't know whether it's players, coaches, fans, or everybody, but when you play that interlocking OU, I think sometimes OSU, oh God, it's OU. But Texas, oh, it's Texas. Let's go get them. Yeah. You know, so it's a different mindset.
And by the way, listen for the pregame show on Saturday. We'll start at 4:30 from the Stone Wolf Casino with Adam Hildebrandt, Clint Schelf, and Dion Amade. But during the pregame show, you wonder, why has Oklahoma State had success against Texas? There are some very interesting but very factual reasons why that's happened schematically, and we're going to get into that in the pregame show. So we'll save that for Saturday. In the meantime, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you this weekend.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.